Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Genesis 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, it's always a blessing to be in your house, and always a blessing to be amongst your dear people. And Father, I pray that tonight would be no different, that as we look into your word, you'll reveal the truth to us, that we can know, that we can apply to our lives, that we can share with others. And Father, again, as we continue on this journey through this doctrine of sin, I pray, Father, that we would understand sin and look at sin as you do. And Father, it's so easy for us to get so desensitized to things with all that's going on in the world, but we need to continue to look at it the way you look at it. And so we just pray, Father, for your blessing tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're looking at the curse of social separation. As the blame game of sin began, right, in the garden, every time somebody blames somebody else, I would go, that started in the garden, because that is exactly where it began. But the blame game of sin began. The once perfect relationship of Adam and Eve became cursed. Sin brought selfishness and self-centeredness into relationships. We see that all the time now, don't we? Because that's where it came from. Eve would now repent and rebel against Adam's authority and try to control their relationship. Adam would no longer be the loving servant leader, but would become a domineering dictator over his wife. The firstborn human resented and murdered his own brother. All these things happen. Why? Because sin. You know, I look at everything that's going on in the world and everybody else, why is this going on? Why is that going on? What? It all could be traced back to sin. Sin entered into the world and everything got turned upside down, right? And so we see that going on. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3 of Genesis. Says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And then turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." That deal, am I my brother's keeper? People say that all the time, right? Do you know where so-and-so? Am I my brother's keeper? And that's where that comes from. It is right there. Then the curse of vocational separation. Man's perfect harmony with nature and with labor was now gone, and man would now earn his bread in a battle with the cursed ground and with his own cursed spirit and attitude towards labor. We see that a lot today, right? Man has this attitude, this cursed spirit and attitude towards labor. People, it's hard to get people who want to work anymore. They're out there, don't get me wrong, there are some out there, but there's a large portion of our population that does not want to work. They want the benefits, they want the paycheck, they want the all the health care and the sick time and the vacation time, they want all that. But to work, if you don't believe me, spend some time talking with Brother Pete sometime. He's hired, I don't know how many over the years that I've been here, and most of them are gone today because they just don't make it. People don't last because they don't want to work. They want to come in and get paid, but they don't want to do the work that's required. And so we see that. And what happened? Have you ever planted a garden? I mean, most people probably have planted a garden. Some people have actually grew up on a farm and stuff. But it's work. I mean, you know, it sounds pretty easy. Just put some seeds in the ground and up comes the, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? It doesn't seem to work that way. It's work. You got to actually put some effort into it, and you have to, weeds come everywhere, right? In fact, and if you're like me, which one's the weed and which one's the real McCoy? Pretty soon, I figure if it's taller than the other, it's probably the weed, right? Because they grow faster, but it's kind of one of those things, the way it works. Back to Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19. Says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The ground's cursed. It's definitely cursed, right? And some of us have lived in areas where you've got more rock than you've got dirt. I don't know how you grow much of anything when you got more rock than you got dirt, but I've seen a couple of people that they grew carrots, and their carrots had all these little divots in the side and all the way down them because all the rocks that had tried to grow down through. And so we have that issue, and we're going to be fighting that till God takes us all out of here, right? It's part of life. And I know when living out there on the prairie, it's kind of nice because you go through and you see areas where they till up the ground, and I'm like, look at that nice, rich soil. Why have I not lived anywhere where they have that? I mean, everywhere we lived, even where we are now, it's rock. When we lived in the valley, it's rock. It's like everywhere, it's just rock. And I said, man, how come they got such nice soil over here? And then we move into the area, and what do we got? Rock. We're just in the wrong area of the prairie out there. Anyway, then the curse of physical suffering. When sin came suffering, with sin came suffering and sickness. With death came degeneration, disease, and disasters. We see all of this. Somebody asked me the other day, how come COVID's here? Sin. Right? It's part of the disease and disasters and degeneration. All these things came because of sin. Can you imagine what it would have been like if Adam and Eve, well, Adam, hadn't have sinned because he's the one that disobeyed God. But if he hadn't have sinned, can you imagine what it'd be like? All of us have to wear glasses. I got to go for the sixth time to have mine adjusted again since I got them not that many months ago. They can't seem to get them adjusted right. But now you have to stand on the other side of the counter instead of going around and sitting and having them. So now you're standing on the other side of the counter and they're trying to do it across everything, and they're just not getting it right. And it's no fun when you got to keep going back and going back and going back. Hearing. I got to go the other day and get my hearing aids done and couldn't figure out why the hearing has gotten worse and worse and worse, and my cell phone connection isn't good. Well, he said, Well, your hearing aids need an update. This is the first pair I've ever had. How would I know they need to be updated? And I asked that question just a month ago or so when I was in there. I said, is there an update or something? These things are about a year old. No, you're fine. I go in there and that's the problem, is they need an update. I had no idea they needed that. Now I do. So now I'll be, and I'll know who to ask if it needs an update, because the person I asked didn't obviously know what they were doing. But so we have all these things, sin and suffering and sickness and death. We've all experienced death. Nobody's immune to it. Why? Because it's part of life. It's part of life. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Man began to die, right? Death, part of life now. It's part of what we deal with. Sickness, wouldn't it be nice if we never got sick? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't like being sick. I don't like that. It interferes with my life. It'd be nice just to not have to deal. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have that? Wouldn't it be nice if our bodies didn't degenerate? You know, it's interesting how so many times you hear of all these different things. And one of the things I remember, my brother's dealing with it now. It was inherited by my mom, but it's degenerative spine disease, where they have a spine that is many years older than their actual physical body is. And both my mom and my brother have both dealt with it. And it's interesting. My brother used to run marathons and stuff. He can't do that anymore because he found out that it's too hard on his spine. And so these things happen. And then we have the curse of maternal sorrow. All women will now bear physical pain and sorrow associated with childbearing and raising. Children will now break their mother's hearts. That never happens, right? Everybody who's a mom, has your children ever broke your heart? Of course they do. It's part of what happens. Pain and sorrow associated with childbearing. I don't know about you. I was there for both of ours, and there appeared to be some pain going on there, and so I thought I was suffering it when she tried to put this finger on this side of this ring at one point, and I slipped that off in between one of the squeezes, and I said, I know that that hurt, but what she's going through is a whole lot worse, so we're not saying anything about it, right? And you just be there and help them through it. And yet, it seems like the next one that comes along, they're excited and ready. And so it's kind of a neat thing that God gives them. But on Genesis 3:16, it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then we have the curse of personal corruption. Sin dulls man's ears. I tell you, we're going through that right now. You talk to people about the truth, and they don't want to hear the truth. It's like, nah. They don't want to hear the truth. They're so blinded by Satan to the truth of what's going on right now, it's not even funny. But this is, we're going to have to turn over to Acts 28 for this one. Acts 28 and verse 27. Acts 28, 27, it says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Got a lot of stuff going on right now that people are like, isn't this wonderful? Well, you're going to find out how wonderful it really is in the days ahead. It's not going to be as wonderful as they think it is. But careful what you ask for, right? Because God just might let you have it. And then sin darkens man's eyes. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Ephesians 4 and 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. Man's eyes are darkened. They're darkened. What does the Bible say? Man loved darkness because their deeds were evil because of sin. That's what they want. Then sin diverts man's feet. Isaiah 53:6. This is a very, very popular verse. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's the way we go. We sin diverts our feet. We go, instead of following after God, we follow after Satan. Right? We're either going to follow one or the other. You're going to follow God or you're going to follow Satan. That's your choices. Well, no, I don't. I can follow my own way. Then that's going after the way of Satan, because that's rebellion against God. So we have to understand that it's one of those things. Then sin defiles man's tongue. Yeah, in Romans 3, the sin defiles man's tongue, and we see that all the time. Man will stand there. I honestly believe that they stand there knowing full well that you know that they're lying to you, and they still do it. And it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them at all. In fact, I've known people that will lie when the truth would serve them better. And yet they'll still lie. And it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense except for the fact that sin defiles man's tongue in Romans 3, verses 13 and 14. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Defiles man's tongue. Boy, I tell you, that some of the language that comes out of kids today, I'm like, excuse me? I remember years ago I asked one kid, I said, does your mother know you talk that way? He said, where do you think I learned it? Well, that's a problem. It's a problem. When the parents are talking that way and training the kids to talk that way, what do you expect? Then they're going to bring children into the world and they're going to teach them the same thing, right? Unless that cycle gets broken. And then sin deceives man's heart. Definitely. Jeremiah 17:9, another one that's very famous. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, we wonder how man can come up with such evil, wicked things to inflict on fellow man. Well, because the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I mean, there's days when you hear about these murders and these rapists going on and these pedophiles and all that, and you think, how on earth? Well, because they're without God. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So, of course, why would we not expect these things to take place? That's why it's so important to share the gospel with mankind. Try and get as many people led to the Lord Jesus Christ as possible so that things would be better. And I'll throw this out. If saved people would actually act like Christians, it would make a difference too. Make a huge difference. And then sin devours man's intellect. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, sin devours man's intellect. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then sin divides man's relationship with God and man. Sin, we all should know full well that our sin divides our fellowship with God, definitely, if you're saved. If you're not saved, your sin has kept you divided that relationship that you could have with God. But even a saved person, our fellowship with God is divided. And so Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, Genesis 3, 8 through 12, says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now I'll stop there for a minute before we go on to 10. God knew where he was, didn't he? God wanted Adam to know where he was. All right, verse 10. "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." God knew exactly where Adam was. Adam needed to know where Adam was. Adam was there because he sinned against God, and he was ashamed. And then sin denigrates man's children. In Genesis 4:8, it says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him," took him and killed him. I mean, I have to tell you, growing up, there was days when I wanted to strangle my brother. I didn't want him dead. Just wanted to know he made me mad, right? But here, he got so mad, he actually killed him. Actually killed him. Does this go on still today? Mm-hmm. Yes? I can't imagine. Can't imagine people doing that. Exodus 20 and verse 5. Exodus 20 and verse 5, it says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." What you're doing affects future generations. You know, people, well, no, it's what I do only affects me. No, it doesn't. What you do not only affects you, it affects those around you, and it affects future generations. And yet, I don't see anything wrong with what we're doing, because here's the old line, everybody's doing it, right? Well, just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. You know, I remember my mom's line, one of her favorite lines, "If everybody went out and jumped off a cliff, would you follow them?" Well, no, that'd be stupid. Okay, well, if they're doing something that isn't smart, why are you following them? Good question, right? Good question. And then sin dooms man's soul, and we'll end with this one tonight. Ezekiel 18:4, sin dooms man's soul. Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Pretty clear. Pretty clear. I like the Word of God, because it's pretty straightforward. It tells you what's going to happen. You do this, I'm going to do this. You do that, I'm going to do this. And then we wonder, well, why is he doing that? Because he said he would. Right? He tells us what's going to happen if we do certain things, and then we do them, and we can't figure out why he does what he said he was going to do. I don't know. Do you like the blessings or the curses? All right, we're going to move on to prayer requests. We're on week 4.